right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Target Talk. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Justin. I got Mike.
What up?
And as you heard, that is Honeymoon by Four Dust, who we have in the studio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are y'all?
Doing good. Doing good. Very glad to have you in the studio.
Yes. I'm so happy to be here. I had a lot of trials today. I slipped in the shower. It's been a long day.
So, like, that already tells me off rip to you, like, probably naturally clumsy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's really bad. I went to this, like, group bowling thing. I was there maybe 5 minutes, and I broke a glass. Everybody was like, oh, step back. Thinking to myself, like, this is my first time meeting these people.
I'm like,
I'm really trying my best.
Like, you broke it with the bowling ball?
I was just being silly. Like, I was trying to grab my purse, and the glass was here. So I just went. It took the glass with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not the best introduction. For sure.
But memorable, you know. Like,
of course. Yeah.
That's the girl who broke the glass. Yeah,
I'm going to be known for that now.
All right. Well, instead of being known for the glass breaking incident, let's get into who you are as an artist. First of all, I always ask this question. Now, it could be an easy response. It could be a hard response, depending on how you take the question. For those who haven't heard or who don't know you, who is Four Dust?
Oh, okay. Four Dust is a neo soul singer songwriter from Dallas, Texas. She often speaks on topics surrounding family, friends, relationships, loss. Universal topics that are often emotionally charged.
Okay. That's what I'd say.
Four Dust.
Good answer.
Yeah.
So where does the name Four Dust come from?
So it kind of like started backwards. I kind of did it reverse. So my favorite number is four, and I like angel numbers. For people who aren't familiar with angel numbers, there's kind of this like woo-woo theory that if you see repeating numbers just in life, it's like a sign. Usually signs of like affirmation that you're on the right path, but each number has a different meaning. So four is the number for protection. And so I came up with four for Four Dust. And then when I was reading my Bible, I read Genesis 3:19 and the direct verses, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food till you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so when I saw, this is the intersection that I needed. This is exactly what I needed, like the protection, but then also the faith, because I'm very faith-driven. Mm-hmm. I see myself as more spiritual than religious. I'm not really about, like, following rules as much as I am about, like, praying to God and building my relationship. So, yeah, that's kind of where it came from.
Okay. I like
that. That's got to be the most unique way you come up with a name. I like it. And that's a compliment.
When I first came out, I went by Addison Kai, like Addison, like the suburb, and my name's Kyra. But then Addison Rae came out, and she's like big, and I was like, I can't be Addison Kai, she Addison Rae. So then I flipped it. I was like, there will be no human who calls themselves Four Dust.
Yeah.
No one. Yeah. So I've been more successful with the new name.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, it's unique. It stands out. And it's very thoughtful, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, I don't know, like I was dusting one day and I just saw dust, you
Yo.
Know. Like you put like the, you know what I mean? Like I appreciate the thoughtfulness behind it, you know what I mean? That's dope. And do you get a lot of people who just say like, hey, 444 dust?
I get a lot of things. I'll get just dust, I'll get I get 444. The most frequent name I get is just 444. And that's funny to me because I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's honestly, I'll answer anything. You can be like, hey. I'll be like, what's up? I'm so chill with it. Yeah.
So you from Addison? Is that the part of Dallas you grew up in?
I'm from North Dallas. Mm-hmm. So like I figured when I was looking at all the Northern Dallas suburbs, the names like McKinney. A lot of them are ugly. Yeah. Plano. Who want to be called Plano? Be real. Yeah. Be real. Garland. Like, Garland's my city, and I would never call myself Garland anything. Yeah. It just doesn't have a nice ring to it. So I thought out of all of them, Addison sounded the prettiest on the north side. Because I am from the northern suburbs of Dallas. I know people outside of Dallas don't get it. Because I lived in L.A. for 10 years. Okay. And so I'm not about to tell them any of the little nuances. I just say Dallas.
Yeah.
And then people from Fort Worth in L.A. will say they're from Dallas. And I'm like,
no.
Fort Worth is not Dallas.
No.
And I mean that with all the
respect. It's okay, but it's not Dallas.
They got their own thing going. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in North Dallas for you?
I liked it because as a kid, I didn't realize how sheltered I was. Mm-hmm. It's just like I was looking at, because a while ago I was thinking about, you know, the property values in the neighborhoods and blah, blah, blah. So I was looking at a scale and it basically had all of the neighborhoods in Dallas on a crime scale, on a 100-point scale. And my neighborhood was like an 11. Okay. And so, like, as an adult, I can look at that and have a lot more respect and admiration for my parents for keeping my safety in mind and trying to protect me. But as a kid, I was just like, oh, I love it here. We just outside riding bikes. But you don't think about it. My mom was raised on the south side of Chicago. So she had a very different upbringing. My dad was raised in rural Missouri. Like, my dad was raised, like, in the ghetto Missouri, like, trailers. Like, so neither of them had the life experience that I had. So I'm very appreciative because 11. Like, we'd be walking out at midnight. Yeah. You cannot do that everywhere. You can't just walk around the neighborhood at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to.
Yeah, right. What type of music was playing up around the house when you were growing up?
So my parents are older, mm-hmm. like much older. And so I was raised on, like, I'm going to say these artists. I don't know if y'all are going to know them, okay. But like, bear with me. Like, I was raised on like the Gap Band and like Earth, Wind & Fire. Mm-hmm. My dad's best friends with the singer Shalamar.
Okay.
Like, that's his homie.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, that's his, like, real hobby. Nice. Because my dad was a musician.
Okay.
He was a professional drummer. And so he toured around the world. Listened to a lot of Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson. But, yeah, classic artists.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
You know the Gap Band?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, come on. Early.
Well, right. Right. Plus, my family, they're all from Tulsa.
Okay.
Gap Band, their name is Three Streets in Tulsa. They're from Tulsa. So
you just put me on. I did not know that.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of the streets right now. I know the G's Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And Greenwood, my bad. But they're from Tulsa. Though, so.
I'm like, does Tulsa have a basketball team or does everybody just rep the Thunder?
Just OKC.
Everybody just goes hard for
them. They used to have a WNBA team.
Okay.
But they're the Dallas Wings now.
Also, Thunder is solid.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
That's a great team. A great team, Shayna.
Yeah. Okay. You watch a little hoops?
I watch a little basketball.
Uh-huh.
I don't always know what's going on. Like when they get technical with it, and like the announcers are speaking. Sometimes I'm like, but I can follow it.
You know the objective.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I love like buying basketball tickets. Okay. I spent a lot of money on basketball tickets. When I was in L.A., I went to the playoff game between the Grizzlies and
the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Game 6. That was a good game.
That's crazy.
And then when they won, they had the confetti falling out the sky.
Yeah.
And I took my friend and I bought both of our tickets. I was like, let's go. I know. It's I don't know. I was always spend money on like a meal or an experience over anything else.
It's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. See them win.
Right. So do you have a favorite basketball team?
I would probably say the Mavs because from Dallas.
Yeah.
From Dallas. Mm-hmm. I love them. I like Dwight. I like PJ. I like Cooper. I like Clay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say something like it's going to be real backwards. I didn't start paying attention to Clay more until he got with Meg. When he got with Meg, then I was like, okay, go Clay.
Yeah.
Before I was like.
I mean, as a basketball fan, you're like at the lowest point of his career. But
on his personal life.
On his personal life, I get it. I get tapping in right now.
Like, he's shining right
now.
This
is the most personality he's had, like, outside of basketball that we've ever seen.
Absolutely.
But you got to go back and see. You know, Golden State Clay, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball-wise, you know.
Yeah. For sure. So back to you. Did you always know you could sing? Is that something you've always wanted to pursue?
Yeah, I did. I started when I was a kid in the church. Okay. I was in the Rainbow Choir, and it was fun, like, doing solos with my childhood friends. But then I kind of, like, went backwards. I started performing, but, like, in the acting space. And that wasn't even anything that I planned on doing. Like, I was in elementary school. I auditioned. I asked them. I was like, give me a small part with minimal roles. And the play was Aladdin. And then they cast me as Jasmine. I said, I told y'all, minimal lines. But actually, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because I was like, oh, I love performing. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to apply to join Booker T, the arts high school downtown. Mm-hmm. I did that for 3 years. And then I went to USC, undergrad performance. So I've always wanted to sing. But I don't think I got the confidence to sing until after I did the acting stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's always been there. It's always been what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So when did you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. for undergrad, so 2014.
Okay.
And then I stayed because I just moved back to Dallas last year.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been in L.A. this whole time.
I was in L.A. that whole time. Yeah, like... And there's a lot of things in L.A. that's just normalized that you don't realize until you come back. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always sirens all the time. Anywhere you go, just the sirens, the sirens. And you just normalize it. And I would just, like, mute myself when I'm on FaceTime with my friends and then unmute myself. I was like, wow, like, the quiet, the peace, no road rage. Well, we got road rage here.
Yeah. We do got road rage.
They don't be moving out there in Cali. Like, the traffic just be stand still.
Oh, yeah.
Over here, it's like
fast.
Yeah.
if you go on slow, you can push all the roads. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I like to think, like, L.A. drivers, they don't know how to drive. They don't know. They don't go to the DMV. They just don't know. Texas drivers are just selfish drivers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, if you in this lane and I want to be in that lane, like, I'd rather we die than I move.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
That's right.
It's like, whoa.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
So were you doing the acting and singing thing out there in L.A. too?
I was, yeah. Okay. I was. And I really had a great time there because I met one of my favorite producers out there. It was just me, again, like, not knowing anything, not having any of these connections because everybody was in the acting world. Those are all the, like, I know a bajillion cinematographers, directors, actors, all that stuff. But music, I didn't have those contacts. So Mavi, who's a rapper, he dropped an album and he just happened to tag all his producers in the cover. And so I just started cold DMing people. I was like, hi, I'm trying to make music. And then a couple of people got back to me, but Ryan was the most responsive. And he was like, come to the studio, like, no, we met at coffee first. We met and we got coffee. I spilled coffee all over myself.
No.
Yeah, I'm really
back to that clumsy.
Yeah, I'm really clumsy, like, in real life. Like, yeah. But spilled coffee all over myself. He was very, very generous. He was telling me about his sisters and growing up. And I had a demo that a different producer had recorded. And he was like, just play it for me. And then he listened to it and he was like, no, we gonna redo this. We gonna re-record it. We gonna pump it up. Like, we gonna do it right. And then he flipped it and he did Lightning for me.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. He also did Fear of Intimacy.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay. So you were already, like, into making music and stuff before you left to Cali.
Yeah.
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 So when did you start, like, writing?
Like, I would say that I first started planning and putting, like, the forethought into it in 2018. Mm-hmm. Because after I walked for USC, I came back for a gap year. Mm-hmm. And so, like, me and my little brother, we would just play YouTube beats.
Okay.
And then record on, like, the voice memo app.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would pass the phone to each other.
Okay.
And I put it on SoundCloud. And I was like, this is cool. This is fun. He doesn't make music. He doing his own thing. He gonna be a firefighter. He wasn't passionate about it, but he like did it to humor me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I was like, no, I really enjoy this. So, wow.
Okay. Is that SoundCloud still active?
Please don't go look at SoundCloud. I was just wondering. SoundCloud is a desolate place.
Were y'all freestyle like singing, or were y'all?
We were freestyle rapping.
Y'all rapping.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. That's why I said do not go there.
No, after, you know, we'll turn the cameras off. I'm going to need that link. You know, I want to hit the bar. I'm trying to hit the bar.
Absolutely not. It's really embarrassing.
What type of beats were you looking for on YouTube? Like, what type beats were you?
I would be like Ski Mask type. Or okay. He really likes Suicide Boys, so I'd be like Suicide Boys type beat. Yeah. And like he's like emo. So like one of our songs, we did a music video, and like he comes in and he's like, "You see my eyes, the pain inside." Like that's
okay.
I love him.
That's funny. That's fire. Gotta look for that now.
you better not.
All right,
I know that I'm not allowed to ask y'all questions, but I have one question for y'all that I really need to ask.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's going to establish your credibility for the rest of this talk.
Okay. Oh, man.
Do y'all like coleslaw?
Oh, no. I do not eat coleslaw. I'll say it. Not a coleslaw guy. Do not like coleslaw.
I don't like coleslaw. I don't know if this is bad or good for you, but I got to stand on my hatred for coleslaw.
Your hatred?
Yeah. Because it's not even like a... If it's on my plate, I want another plate. You know, that's how bad it is.
That's wild.
Yo. Yo. I hate coleslaw.
Okay, great.
I don't know who invented it or why.
I don't
know. Yeah.
Why? It's like wet lettuce.
I don't.
Exactly.
There's nothing endearing about coleslaw to me. Like, nothing on that looks like, oh, I can take a piece of that.
Yeah.
No, I will judge you if you like coleslaw.
So. I mean, it's like when you go to Raising Cane's and they're like, do you want coleslaw? No. Bro, give me some more fries. Give me an extra roll. Something, bro. Or toast. I mean, we ain't here for the coleslaw.
Don't ruin my day.
Why are you asking me that? Oh,
we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay, good. This is the same space.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if you want to ask us questions, you can.
Okay.
But this is about you.
That might be like our first song getting hit with a question.
Yeah.
And that's probably like the best question anybody
that's
can
hilarious.
Ask. I appreciate it.
That's a great question.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
If one of y'all said yes, I don't know what. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I would have looked at him different if he said yes.
Absolutely.
Because we've never had this talk.
We've never talked about it.
I'm glad that you gave us this space to learn about each other.
And, like, as long as y'all have been working together, like, y'all were nominated for Dallas Entertainment 2 years in a row. Like, y'all really doing it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And now you have built more rapport.
Yeah, we're even closer now.
Our bond just got a lot strong.
We've known each other for over 10 years and never talked about coleslaw. So, like, I appreciate that.
Never talked about coleslaw. That's how unimportant coleslaw is.
That's how unimportant it is. Like, if he would just be like, hey, man, coleslaw, I would probably hang up on him. You know?
Yeah.
Because don't piss me off.
Yeah. I just don't roll my name, bro.
What a random shot at coleslaw. Well,
I could ask that. It is the first question.
Oh, yo, okay.
Hold on.
You got notes?
Really needed to ask y'all that. I'm glad that I could get that out there.
You got note cards.
Well, now we got to know what else is on the note cards.
Oh, these other notes are mostly just me making sure that I don't forget to say anything.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You got some points you need to hit.
But
I love
just
it.
Just me trying to be strategic.
I love the preparedness. I love
it. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Wow. That's a good question. That one got me, man. I got to focus. Get back into interview mode. All right, back to you. So before putting out music, you were a preschool teacher.
Oh, my gosh. Where did you read that?
We do research.
We do research around here. Yeah.
Are we correct with our research?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like, wow. Okay.
We don't mess around over here.
Maybe it's because usually I'm talking about other people. This is the first time that, like, I get interviews and they're online and we talk on the phone. But yes, I was a preschool.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Well, what pushed you to finally drop your first record?
The first song I ever released was As I Sit. Yeah. I think I just heard the beat and I loved it. And I also, I like rely on my gut with all of this. Like I hear the songs and I know instantly if it's done or if it needs more work. Mm-hmm. And I think me and my old producer, we just had a bunch of unreleased music and it was ready. It was ready to go. But I love As I Sit because it was like my first venture into all of this. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a sample in it, which means a lot to me. It's my homegirl's mom mm-hmm. talking to me. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
She's like trying to give me a pep talk, but she's from Boston. And like she was so serious. We were just like, we were out in New York. It was like 2 a.m. and I was like crying about my ex because my ex was awful. My ex was just awful. And so my friend's mom, she's like, those people outside of you, they don't matter. They don't matter. And then we used it for the song.
Was that like a voicemail or was it, do you got her in the booth?
No, we were all sitting in the Airbnb.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why is she treating me like this? Uh-huh. And then her mom was like, get it together.
That's dope.
Okay, that's funny. So when you did put yourself out there, were you nervous? Was it a...
Not necessarily, no. I think probably because it was so... far, like, it had been coming for a long time. Mm. The first time that I really recognized that I wanted to make music was when I was in high school. They had auditions for pop ensemble because they have, like, these ensemble groups you don't have to be in the music cluster to join. And I just stood in the hallway, and they were like, okay, you're going to audition? You ready? And I was like, five more minutes. And I just wasn't ready. I was so nervous. So I think when it came to be 2022 and, like, I heard the song and it resonated with me and I was just ready – it was far, far superior to anything on SoundCloud. I was like, mm-hmm. it's just time.
Yeah.
And then the music video was cool.
Yeah. Did you always feel like neo-soul was kind of your lane that you wanted to be in?
Yeah. I just have a lot of respect for, like, neo-soul artists. I love Erica. You can't talk about neo-soul without talking about Erica.
Yeah.
Like, wanted to say Jill Scott, Bilal, I just like that sound. And I'm not the type of person who, I don't have like a bunch of stacks, harmonies. It's like, it's usually just like raw vocals
mm-hmm.
and the tone and the emotion that shines through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Any albums that you feel like stand out to you?
Firstborn Second, Bilal, Mama's Gun, Erykah Badu, Baduism, Who Is Jill Scott.
Classic.
Those are solid.
Yeah.
Those are so solid.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just put it on and it makes you feel good. You just want to clean the house. Light a candle.
Nah, for real. Yeah, I just ran through Who Is Jill Scott not that long ago.
Okay.
That's just like, I mean, I've heard it before, but like,
yeah.
Like to revisit. But that's for a debut album.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was her intro album, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, she had the Fugees albums prior to, but, I mean, that's just dropped that one album, and that's all she needed to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Made history.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what was the initial reaction when you started putting your music out?
Everybody was very, very supportive, but I was waiting on that, like, external support. Like, my people, my friends, my family, they've known I've been a performer forever. So they were like, okay, this is the new thing. Let's go. Like, they're like, where are the t-shirts? Like, they're really, really, like, supportive. I love my support system. But I was waiting for, like, more of, like, the global listeners. And so at first it's just I had my monthly listeners in L.A. and Dallas. And so, like, now that it's expanded more and I see people are listening to my music in Japan and Vietnam and U.K., like, that is what I've always dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how's that feel to see it go in different countries and stuff? Like,
yeah, it trips me out.
Yeah.
Because I'm like very data-driven. Mm-hmm. I want to look at the numbers. I want to look at metrics because that's how I feel like you improve. You got to know your audience and what resonates with them mm-hmm. if you care about that kind of thing. And so when I see like these random cities that I've never heard of mm-hmm. and then like I'll put it on the map and it like literally I was looking at like the different cities, and one is at like the top of Japan, one's at the bottom of Japan. I'm like, how did they eat? Like, how does this spread across this country? It's crazy to me. Yeah. But that's the beauty of social media, I guess.
Yeah. Well, social media, I mean, I know you, I see you, you be pretty active on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, you be killing it. Like, how is that like translated into like listenership and stuff for you?
Oh my gosh, TikTok like changed my life. Yeah. And I used to be so anti TikTok when it first came out in 2020. I was so anti. I was like, I'm not a little kid dancing around doing a 1-2.
Yeah,
like what? But I was at the club with my homegirl, and this random woman just started telling me her life story, and she was like, "You should be on TikTok." This was last summer, and I was like, okay. She's like, it's going to take you 3 to 4 months, but just do it. And I posted every day for 3 to 4 months. And I went from 86 followers to like 2,400 in a couple months.
Wow.
Yeah. Shout out to that lady at the club.
Yeah.
She changed my life.
It'd be the random encounters for sure that really.
Yeah. Because I'm like, you don't know me from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked. That was the craziest part, was that it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I have new, like, loyal listeners who have actually, like, helped me connect with other artists in Dallas, other, like, cinematographers, other rappers, other singers, just through TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
We need to get active like that on there. Every day?
Every day.
That's what you say, every day?
Every day. Yeah,
that's tough, but it's worth it though. It's worth it.
Absolutely,
for sure.
And you can't judge it.
Yeah,
after you've made it, you can't judge it.
Yeah,
you gotta
let it go.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about Honeymoon. We opened the show with a glimpse of that. The cover art is really personal with your grandparents on it. Yeah. What made you decide to choose that image?
I just tonally. You can feel, like, the love he feels for her. Because I love that image because my grandma never smiled. My grandma always served face because she was gorgeous. And so, like, in this photo, she just looks so beautiful in her cheekbones. And you can just see he's beaming, like, as he's looking at her. Mm-hmm. And they were married their whole lives, you know, until they passed. So it's just, like, a real authentic example of, like, genuine love. And you can feel it. It's just a visceral feeling. Mm-hmm. And that photo was taken in, like, what year? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, 1940-something? Like, come on.
So, when someone just sees that cover before they even hit play on the song, like, what do you hope that they feel?
I hope that they feel, like, the butterflies and, like, the, you know, the heart swell, all the... the mushy, fluffy things. Yeah.
How'd the song come together?
I start with the beats first. I always start with the beats because I feel like a different beat tonally will put you in another direction. Mm-hmm. And so I found the beat on YouTube, and then I just started writing. Usually when I'm writing from like an emotional place. That's why I think each of my songs are so different tonally. Like, Lightning is a love song and Honeymoon's a love song, but they're very different and they're from different perspectives. It was actually my homegirl who was like, you should release that next. I was like, you know what? I'll listen to you. She's smart.
Nah, it's definitely a great song. I think you did an amazing job with the cover.
Mm.
It matches the feel of the song, like, I think perfectly.
Yeah.
So.
I love like building the world,
mm-hmm.
and I love the visuals, like, and how those can enhance the music itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you, you pretty much do everything hands on.
Yeah. Are you talking about the art or the videos?
Oh, I mean, do you do the videos?
I do. Unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you do everything. So.
With the videos, I like rely on my long-term cinematographer. Mm-hmm. He's my ride or die. We've been partners for over 10 years now. And so he just gives me the file and he's like, all right, here you go. And so then I chop it up and I edit it. And it usually takes 2 weeks about, but it's like a lot. It's a, like, locking in on Premiere Pro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm about to put on my reading glasses. Oh. Takes work, but it's so worth it when they're done.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You're doing it all.
Shout out to Booker T. Booker T Film Club.
There you go.
I'll teach you everything you need to know.
So coming from that performing background, when you're on stage now, is it more comfortable, or do you feel nervous when you get up on stage?
I wouldn't say that I feel nervous, but I am very conscious that every show I've done has been so different. So that's the only thing, like, I could never plan for. The last show that I did was at, goodness gracious, it was in Denton. I'm blanking out on the Rubber Gloves in Denton. And so they're kind of like a punk rock type, like, venue. Mm-hmm. And so the act who was going on before me, he was rapping. And then someone just started, like, moshing at the front of the stage.
Okay.
And it's like, you can do all the preparation you want, but when someone starts flipping in front of you as you rap it, like, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. So it's like, those are the little experiences that I can never account for. Mm-hmm. I can't plan for somebody moshing in the front. Yeah. I can't plan for that drunk person in the back.
Yeah. That's very true. Well, speaking of performing, I do want to, you know, get on here and tell you thank you for performing at our event, you know.
Yes. Oh.
We definitely enjoyed you. Yeah, we enjoyed your performance there. I really just wanted to say that because, like, you were a lifesaver that night.
For us. Oh, 100%.
That was so much fun. And I got to meet Miss Angela.
Yeah. Who I love. She says hello, by the way.
Hey! So. Yay, Miss Angela!
I told her you were pulling up to the studio today, so.
I love her. She shows love, like, in the comments.
Nah, she
that's
she,
real.
She loves your stuff. I'm like, okay, I love to know.
At the end, I tried to take a selfie with you, and then she jumped in. Yeah. I was like, let's all be in the selfie. You are in the group. Like, yeah, yes. You know.
She's our biggest supporter as a podcast as well. So, 100%.
You know. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Shout out moms, man.
Yeah, shout out my moms, man.
How important is a visual presentation to you? Like, outfits, the lighting, the staging? Like, yeah, that's pretty important.
Yeah, it's very. I'm like, 10 times out of 10, I have the crown.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I have the golds. Like, that's, I'm just big. The boots. Mm-hmm. Love a good boot. I think it's good to have, like, that visual identity. Sade had the ponytail. Amy Winehouse had the beehive. Like, just that instant. Oh, that's four. Mm. You know what I mean?
I did want to ask about the crown. Like, what's the story behind it?
I felt like, because when I'm performing, I feel like I'm, like, almost like my most elevated self. Like, I'm not clumsy when I'm on stage. Mm. I'm not breaking glasses. I'm not spilling coffee. I'm, like, ethereal. And so I feel like the crown, when I put it on, like, I have, like, that mental, like, oh, okay, this is a performance. This is for dust. It just helped me, like, viscerally.
Yeah.
Feel the difference.
Did you, like, find that crown, or, like, is it personally made?
No, I just found this crown because what I started with was a headband. Mm. But then nobody saw it.
Yeah.
And I was like wearing this headband everywhere and nobody knew what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta get it.
It never caught on that you were wearing the headband.
Nobody thought it was intentional.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, where's that headband again? Mm. So the crown, like, it's in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because, like, I mean, this is my first time seeing a crown like that. Like, I've never seen, like, I might be just out of the loop or anything, but I've never seen that type of crown before.
With, like, the little points at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One day when I have a lot of money, I'll get a better crown.
Nah, I mean, I feel like
this is what
you gotta keep the OG.
I feel like that's
crown.
It. If anything, just enhance it, you know, when you get a little money. But that's you at this point.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I'll take it.
Yeah. that's the four dust crown, in my opinion. So.
Yes.
Yeah. If I can copyright that somehow, I will.
So what does a normal creative day for you look like?
Well, I do work. Like, is this, like, a work day? Or like a Saturday. Or like
Let's say a day where you can just log in and create.
Mm. Those are very rare. Okay. It's usually reversed. It's usually like I have some interaction or some strong feeling, and I'm like, I need to write right now. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, I'm off the heels of whatever interaction, I just listen to beats. Like, I've listened to thousands and thousands and tens and thousands of beats, and I just go until I find the right one. Mm-hmm. And then I get to writing. And, like, the first take that I do, it sounds like, you know, like The Sims, the game The Sims, mm-hmm. how they don't really talk English. Like, the first recording I do is like, blah, 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 blah. But it's the rhythm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so then I put in the words afterwards. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So it's like, this interaction with us, is that like, you need to go home and find some beats and like talk about
it? You about to do a song?
I'm going to be like, we all don't like coleslaw. Yeah. None of us like coleslaw. That's the beat.
Exactly.
Oh my
Listen, God. If you need like a good 8 on there about hating coleslaw, I got an 8 in me about coleslaw.
Okay.
Like if it's just pure hatred about coleslaw, I got you.
Oh,
but we need the passion.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of artists today who they're not passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing it because it's something to do.
Yeah.
And it's like when the passion comes through, that's what this is all about. That's the music that has more longevity. Mm-hmm. So yes, I want that.
I got you. You know, if we got to do a coleslaw diss track, we got it. I got you.
It's a bad day to be coleslaw, man.
So, I mean, are you currently working on anything, like, for the year?
Like new music?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have multiple tracks that are just in different stages. Mm-hmm. So I have some, like, great producers who've reached out to me on social media. I think one of them's in the Bay. They're just all over the States. And so, like, we're still in the very early development stage. I have some songs that have been recorded that aren't ready yet. Some songs that are, like, super close to being mixed and mastered. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think this year I'm not going to put any dates on it until they're ready for distribution. Because mm-hmm. in the past when I've said that, I've always been late. Mm-hmm. Like, I always miss it. Probably so I'd rather just...
Where is it?
Yeah. I'd rather just wait till it's done.
Yeah.
Because each song is so different. Like, Fear of Intimacy, like, I went to see Zayla. Shout out to Zayla.
Shout out to Zayla.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's a genuine person.
Yeah, for real.
So I went to go see her, and I sing very quietly, and the people next door to her, they were just boom, 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 boom. And so we just had to, like, wait for the pockets, and we had 3 takes, and that was it, and it was done. But then, like, there's this other song that I've been trying to release for over a year. It's called Focus, and it's just not ready. And it's been over a year. Mm-hmm. So it's like each one is so different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bespoke process with each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell I'm like, I wish it was like instant.
Yeah.
So I got to try to get rid of that in my own processes.
Yeah.
Like releasing the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And just accepting things as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't rush that type of stuff.
No.
Yeah. Once you know, it might not be the right time to release that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what about like collabs and stuff? How do you like to collab with other artists and stuff?
I do. I have like a whole file in the Google Drive of people who've reached out, giving me my little open that I have not finished. There are a couple artists who've sent me tracks, and then there are couple artists that I've reached out to that I want to like start from the ground up on, like that nothing's been recorded yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was just going to forecast for the year, my goal is to release 3 songs
mm-hmm.
and then 3 features. Okay. We'll see if I do that
okay.
by December. I chose small numbers.
Yeah.
So it's achievable.
This is achievable. And oh, that's yeah. still productive too.
3 and 3.
3 and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be 4 and 4.
You know what?
Hey, I'm just saying.
Should be 4 and 4. Right.
Undeniable. I think this is the most I've laughed like in a guest episode. Man. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
It may be because like I guess you're one of the first people we didn't meet here at the studio. You know,
that's true.
Like
that's
you're basically facts. One of the homies already before we pulled up. But also, I mean, like funny.
Yeah, it's
been funny.
The vibes.
Good times.
It was the coleslaw question. That's how
yeah, that really opened it all up.
That was the first question I had. It's very important to me to start like this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, y'all are my close friends, like on Instagram. Hey. Like, right on Target's are my close friends.
So, all right.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Absolutely. Love the green circles.
Yes. You
know? That's how you know. It's like that feeling of validation.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, oh.
I'm in that? Okay.
You trust me.
Thank you.
So, how do you know when the song is done?
So, I do like two things. I have the visceral feeling like in my gut, but then I listen to it in as many different platforms as I can. Mm. I listen to it in my AirPods. I listen to it just out on speaker, in the car. Oh my gosh. And just as at different levels. And, I'm just like notorious about like mix 5, mix 6, because I'll just hear a little thing and I'm like, okay, now we gotta fix that and just tweak that. Mm-hmm. Then after mix 8 or whatever, it's done.
After it passes all the tests.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm very open to like feedback.
Okay.
There have been some things that like Ryan heard, Zayla heard that I didn't hear, and they're like, hey, you know, I'm like, please, because I just have so much respect for like the collaboration in the process. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very grateful for everyone, for the producers and for the engineers. Like, it's a team effort.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. So are there, like, any small habits that you do, like, before recording that people would not expect?
It depends on if I'm on my, like, woo-woo shit. Like, if I'm on my woo-woo shit, like, I'll burn some Palo Santo. I always have my crystals with me. I always pray. Like, those are my, like, rituals. But it works. It works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Good to have a nice little routine.
Yeah.
Sometimes I record barefoot.
Okay.
Depending on what day it is. Yeah. Like, free me. Mm-hmm.
We should try that one time.
Oh yeah!
You do not want my dogs at you.
You know what?
Nah,
I mean, not like when we have a guest. Probably not.
No.
That might be off-putting.
Do it with the guest.
It depends on the guest. We have a lot of rappers in here. I don't want it like, you know.
They're gonna be like, "What you doing?
What's going on?
You know? Why are your feet out?"
I don't know what type of pod this is. But I'm about to get out of here. You never know. You
know? Yeah. Wait. I gotta go, actually. Oh, God. That's funny. Bro, are you looking at my feet like a match?
No, I was looking at I'm not size of your feet, though, bro. I'm not.
See, y'all both got socks on.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, no one wants to see this. Yeah.
My homeboys will leave. They'll be in slides, no socks, ashy. Mm-hmm. I'm like.
That's the way of life, you know.
It's not acceptable. It's not okay.
Oh. Is there a random song that you have in your playlist that would surprise people?
Like my everyday playlist?
Yeah.
I keep listening to Wipe Me Down.
Okay.
Old as it is. Like shoulder, chest, pants. Come on, man. Like, there's just something about it. Then when Boosie comes, like, I don't know. A little in the club.
Gas tank on E, but all drinks on me.
Wipe me down.
That's real, you know?
It's just stuck in my head all the time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, so I need a new song. I'll get fixed on one song and I'll just overplay it. And then I'll go to the next one.
So that's your fixation right now?
It's wipe me down, unfortunately.
There's worse songs to be fixated on.
That's true.
Probably.
Plus, I mean, that means we know you fresh, because Hey. You listen to Wipe Me Down every time you go somewhere. You can't be bummy listening to Wipe Me Down.
It just won't work.
No.
It just won't work. No.
We can't wipe you down if you bummy. You know?
Yeah.
And you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So outside of music, like are you more low key or are you like the life of the party?
Oh, in just day to day life?
Yeah.
I would say I'm probably like an extroverted introvert.
Okay.
So like if I feel like I have enough comfort in the situation, I will definitely like step outside of my shell. I'll be outgoing. But if for whatever reason I feel like nervous, I will just be very, very quiet to myself. Yeah.
That's good.
Like maybe just like stick with one person and just talk to them the whole night.
Find a familiar person.
You know, yeah. Right? And my circle's small. My two best friends in the world, I've been best friends with one of them since the third grade, best friends with the other one since the sixth grade. So it's like, they're not going anywhere. Like, yeah, that's my circle. Like, those are my people. Like, they're going to be my children's godparents. Like, that's it. So, like, it takes a minute for me to, like, warm up, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is why it's funny, because I've always felt comfortable around y'all.
That's good. That's good to hear. I'm glad.
We appreciate that. Yeah. We like to create that vibe, I guess.
Yeah. Now, if y'all were barefoot, maybe it would have been different.
Might have been different.
But I met y'all with shoes.
Yeah.
That's for the best. That's just for the best.
Again, if you pulled up to our event and we're barefoot.
That's crazy.
We had a coffee shop with our shoes off, man.
In a coffee shop.
Yeah, welcome. Leave your shoes over there. That would have been a little wild.
You got shoes off? Don't even come in. Oh, my God. Oh, all right. I have to, like, get back to being serious after laughing. But what is something that you're still trying to improve in your craft?
Ooh. I want to learn more about the technical skill. I want to get to that point where I can have, like, stacks, the layers, the harmonies. Mm-hmm. And I do want to find, like, a good vocal coach in Dallas who I could, like, bounce ideas off of that could help me with some of the arranging. Because mm-hmm. I wasn't trained in this stage, you know? So, like, maybe someone who has formally gone to school for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, very much like a sponge, and I really believe, like, I know nothing. So just... like, I'm willing to hear anything, learn anything, write anything, take those notes. Just shared resources.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope. Mm-hmm. I like that you're open to, like, learn more stuff.
Too, yeah.
You know? Yeah. You don't feel like you got it all figured out.
I know nothing. Really. I really know nothing. And every time I think I know something, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Still learning.
Yeah.
It's all good, man. Mm-hmm. What else do you have on those notes? Like, is there anything on the notes that did you feel like...
did we miss something? Like,
you feel like you need to put out there for the people?
Yeah.
Oh. Is it okay if I call my dad?
Sure. This would be a first.
Yeah.
That's a first?
Yes. Yeah.
I told him that I was going to do this.
Okay.
And he's very old, as y'all know.
Okay.
But I just want to see if he'll even answer the phone. He might be asleep. I just want to see, because he'll be happy that I did this.
Okay.
If he's asleep, you can cut all this. Like, don't even use this.
Okay.
But if he awake, and if he says something crazy, again, we don't have to use this. Watch, he's so asleep at his old age. That's a voicemail. Hello? Oh, you are here. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, I'm on this podcast and we're talking about my music. Can you believe it?
Okay.
Are you proud?
What?
Were you sleeping?
No.
Are you proud?
Am I proud? Yeah. I'm
proud. I told him that you're friends with Shalimar. With Howard. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You got anything to tell him about my music?
thought that's very interesting. It's a new wave that's coming out nowadays. And, so hopefully it may hit.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for watching the honeymoon video.
Yes, I did.
All right.
I really loved it.
I'll let you go back to sleep. You sound like you sleep.
No, I'm not sleep, but anyway. Okay, good night, baby.
He's asleep. All right.
I love you.
I love you.
Love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He goes, it's very interesting. All right. Well, do you like it or not? He's ridiculous. When I played in Fear of Intimacy, he goes, I like lightning more. Well, what does that do for me?
Do you have any feedback about this song?
Yeah.
I like your last song more. Well, that doesn't help me at all.
Oh, man.
Now we appreciate that little cameo from Pops.
Shout out Pops, man.
I thought he wasn't going to answer. Talking about I'm awake my whole life. My whole life. You are asleep, sir. Don't turn that TV off. Yeah. I'm awake. Okay.
Oh, man. Well, what's next? What's next for 4Dust?
Next for 4Dust is, if you get a chance, go check out my Tiny Dust submission.
Okay.
Got a show on Valentine's Day. If nobody's doing anything, come through. I understand there's a lot of competition on that day.
Everybody got a show on Valentine's
Day. I know, right? Yeah. But the smart people did it on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
The 14th, that's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So come through if you're in Dallas and be on the lookout for the new music, which will be here. 4 songs, 4 features.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure.
And check out the YouTube channel. That's what I'm pushing this year.
Well, where can the people find you?
They can find me everywhere at 444Dust.
It's right there.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Those are my main gems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely appreciate you coming through again.
Absolutely.
This was a blast.
This was a blast.
It's like top 3 episodes.
It's 100%.
And it's probably not 2 or 3. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just made my day.
You passed the vibe check.
Y'all passed the vibe check too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, y'all are the close friends. So I'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys go run up 4Dust Music, man. Honeymoon, you gotta run it up for sure.
Run it all up.
The whole catalog for sure. Yeah.
And be on the lookout for 4 singles and 4 features. You know?
That's right. Absolutely. But until next time, guys, we out. Peace. Mm-hmm.